All right. Good morning, everyone. If you're sitting in the very back, I want to let you know there are plenty of seats in the front. So if you can't see, there's a lot of seats up here, and they're really good. You can hear a lot better up here. But we have one announcement today, and so the announcement is if you feel like you want to give this year, you could see the Christmas tree that was out there. It had some food pantry stuff on it. And so if you would like to, we'd love for you to grab some stuff on there, go to Walmart, Hy-Vee, Fairway, wherever you go, and then bring it all back, and then we can put it in the cart right next to the tree. And so that is the only announcement. So I'm going to pray us open. Lord, you are so good. And Lord, we know that you love us. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be able to come here safely. We pray that we can leave even safer, Lord. But Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen.
Would you stand and worship with us?
Who counts my reason for living, so let my life become an offering to the one who is worthy. And all praise to the Lord Most High, all praise to the one who saved my life, all praise to Jesus Christ. All praise to the one who saves my life. All praise.
pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. You might encourage us with your word, that you might do a deep work in our own hearts. God, you know what we need, and you are our Savior and Redeemer and Defender. You are our King, worthy to be praised. For all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, kids, you are dismissed. All right, today we don't have a long passage, but it is Mark 13, 9 through 13. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local council and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against his parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm in the end will be saved. And this is the reading of God's word.
All right. Before we get in, thank you, Codis. Before we get into our message, just want to let you know that Will Patrick, who's on our worship team here, and his wife is Claire Patrick, who's our children's ministry leader. His mom passed away yesterday, so I'd like to offer a prayer for them and for their family before we move forward. God, we thank you for Will and Claire. We thank you for his mom and all of his family, and we pray for your grace and mercy to be extended to them in the ways that they need it most in these coming days. Would you comfort them? Would you give them and remind them of the hope that they have in you and that rail alone I had in you? And would you open your word to us this morning, that from your word you would speak to us in ways that bring us alive, in ways that join us to you and to your purposes. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So we are doing this short passage. Just want to remind you that last week what we talked about is how Jesus started his longest teaching that's recorded in the book of Mark. And he started it because they were looking at the temple, and the temple at that time is like one of the ancient wonders of the world. It is pretty much impossible for us to know how incredible and impressive that would have been to the people at the time, because we have pictures, we have videos, we get to travel a lot more, there's all kinds of technology, but for them to see something man-made this impressive, it's like 100 times more impressive than anything they get to see. So they're in the midst of that, and they're saying, Jesus, look, in this, is it, wow, can you believe it? And not to mention, even for us, people still go to look at the stones, the foundational stones, because they're like tens of tons, even over 100 tons. They're bigger than a person, these huge stones. Like they're saying, look at the stones. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm not that impressed. It's not even going to last. It's not going to last much longer. And so they're kind of confused. A little later, they're up on the mountain. They're looking at Jerusalem. They've got a view of Jerusalem, of the temple. They're saying, when is this going to happen, that the temple's going to get destroyed? This is unthinkable. And Jesus goes on into this teaching, this very long teaching, to say, here's what's coming. And what he talks about with here's what's coming is here's what's coming for Jerusalem, for this temple. And next week, we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about specific things that happened and how there seems to be a pretty good evidence that people who are following Jesus and knew these words, maybe people who even were the first recipients of Mark itself, they left before Jerusalem got destroyed because of these words. Anyway, we'll get to that next week. But also next week, Jesus also is talking about what's coming, like when he comes back again. So he talks about both. He's saying what's coming. And so if you're there as a disciple, you're like, oh, this is what's coming for us, like in the here and now. But then there's also a sense of here's what's coming ultimately for the world. And we're going through Mark 13 right now in a way that's fitting to match with the Advent season, because the Advent season is about being prepared for Jesus' coming. And so we take these weeks leading up to Christmas to prepare for celebrating how he came the first time. But also in Mark, we can look at this and say, are we ready for how he's coming now? He wants to keep coming now. And am I getting myself, my heart posture, am I in the right place? Am I ready for how he wants to come into our lives now? And am I ready for whenever he comes back for me again? Now that could be he comes back because it's my life is done. And it's time to give an account of my life. That's going to happen at some point. Or he could be coming even sooner. Maybe he's coming again in physical form for the new heaven, the new earth, for everything to be established. Last week we talked about Jesus saying, you know, watch out, be ready, because people are going to deceive you. They're going to say that I am he, like I'm the one that you're supposed to follow. I'm the one that can solve all your problems. Don't be deceived by that. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Don't be alarmed by that. There's going to be earthquakes and famines, and they're going to increase. This is the beginning of birth pangs. Like in birth pangs, the contractions, they start far apart and they get more accelerated closer to the birth. And just yesterday, there's like a 7-point on the Richter scale, whatever, earthquake in Alaska with 20 aftershocks, some of them in the 5-point something aftershocks. The signs are there that the birth pangs, it's coming. It's coming. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready whether he comes back 1,000 years from now or whether he comes back tomorrow, because at some point we have to give an account either way. So are we ready for how he's coming? Well, how do we get ready for how he's coming? We join in how he wants to be coming right now. We serve in the ways that he wants us to serve with him right now. So let's look at these 5 verses. Verse 9, you must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. Now, this, you must be on your guard. Last week, Jesus said, when they're asking him, when's all this going to happen? He says, watch out. But actually in the Greek, I have no idea why they use a different word here, because I looked at multiple translations and they all seem to. But in the Greek, it's the same word. When he's saying, watch out, be on your guard, he's saying the same thing when they say, what's coming? Watch out, be on your guard, don't be deceived, don't be alarmed, all kinds of stuff's going to happen. That's what we talked about last week. But now he starts this one, be on your guard. Watch out, be on your guard, be alert, be aware, same thing. Next week, he's going to say that phrase again. We're going to look at a passage again in 2 weeks. He's going to say that it's going to show up there again. So one of the big messages in being ready for what's coming is to watch out, be on your guard, be aware, be alert. So, verse 10, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. So right in the middle of Jesus talking about all this challenging stuff, he's talking about it like, in how nations work, how kingdoms work, you know, conflict and war, but he's talking about in natural disasters too, famines and earthquakes. He's talking about it that way, but then he's also starting now in this passage to get into like, here's personal ways you're going to experience hard. And in the middle of all that, he says, you know, something is coming, but first, the gospel, the good news of God's kingdom found in Jesus must be proclaimed to all people. That's what's going to happen first. And so he starts us with a purpose. If we're trying to get oriented to all the things that are happening in the world, we need to recognize that to be ready for what's coming, we need to be on purpose, his purpose. And his purpose is that his good news is made known. The good news of God's goodness is made known to all nations. Okay? We go on. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Okay, so how do we get ready for what's coming? There's a way in which it's like, well, you can't. You're gonna have to show up. You're going to be put on the spot. It's going to be super pressurized, and you're going to have to say something. Can't really be ready for that, though. But here's the promise. You can be ready by the promise because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is given to you. If you're on purpose, then you've got a promise that he's going to be with you, that he's going to give you what you need, and you just go with what he gives you. You just say what he gives you to say. You just give what he gives you to give. You just serve in the ways that he gives you to serve. That's how you get ready for what's coming. But it's because you, he's talking to his disciples, but he's talking to his disciples. You are going to be on purpose. The purpose is that the good news of God is made known to people. You get on purpose. And I will be with you. That's my promise. Okay, we better keep going. Super long passage. These are the last two verses. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. We're talking about Christmas gatherings that are coming up? No, just kidding. All right, here we go. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So we're on purpose. And there's a promise that God's going to be with us. He's going to give us what we need if we stay on purpose. But it is not going to be easy, and so we have to persevere. It's not like if I am totally lined up with God, and I'm doing the God things, and I'm doing my best, then it'll all work out smooth and easy. All kinds of resistance and hardship comes. All kinds of confusing, scary things are coming. How do we get ready for that? How do we get ready for that? Well, we got to stay on purpose. We got to remember there's a promise that God will be with us. But also, we're just going to have to persevere. We are going to have to endure. We're going to have to, you know, engage our wills. It's not just easy. That's not how it's going to be. And so, the purpose, he says, is that the gospel would be preached to all nations. To all nations. So I want to talk a little bit about that. A little bit about the idea that what is on God's heart. Hey, you want to know what's coming and you want to join me in what I think is important? God says, the gospel to be preached in all nations. Now, last weekend, Faith Rosaboom was up here, and she made an announcement about a class that they're offering at Central on missions. And the purpose of the class, I think it's about 6 weeks long, the purpose of the class is for us to get a sense of what God's heart is for the world. Just to get a sense for what God's heart is for the world so that we can line up with him. I think a lot of prayer time is spent when we pray, God, come line up with me. Come line up with what I want. Come line up with what's bothering me. Come line up with what's important to me. But prayer is also, and worship is also supposed to be, God, I want to line up with you. I want to line up with you. That's what, and this is a class that can help us line up with God just to just become more aware of what his heart is really like. Now, a family from Pella who became aware of God's heart are the Dykstras, Scott and Becky Dykstra. They were both doctors in Pella. They were the First Church, Ascending Network Church that we're connected with. And what God put on their heart is the country of Japan. Country of Japan where, I can't remember, I should have re-looked up the numbers. I don't 1%, 2%, 3% are Christians. There's millions and millions and millions of people who don't know Jesus, who aren't following Jesus. And Scott and Becky were praying. They wanted to go to a country where people don't even hear about Jesus ever. And they have made a commitment, 15 to life, 15 years to life. Now look at that family. They're kids. They're going, they're saying, this is worth it. Why? This is the purpose. The purpose is that the gospel is preached in all nations, and we know God wants us to go. And so we as a church, we support them financially. We want to pray for them. We have some people who are supporting them themselves too, staying connected with them themselves. But they, in their latest newsletter, gave three prayer requests. If you could pull those up, because I didn't bring my notes. I thought it would be good if we just stopped right now. Someone has said yes to the call. In their first few years, what they're doing, they're just learning Japanese. They're learning Japanese culture. They're making friends. The reason that it's such a long commitment is because if they really want to reach people, it's going to take a while to be there. They need to really be there. They really, really need to know and love the people. And then they move forward. Give me the next two. They're going to have Christmas, but they're part of a church. They have intentional Christmas events that they're hoping non-believers will come to, and it'll be a chance for them to get introduced to Jesus again, not in a country like ours. Where over 60% of the population says they're Christians. This is in a place where you can be around hundreds, thousands of people all around you who never hear about Jesus, don't know about Jesus. And so they're praying for hearts of Japanese people. That's the whole reason they're there. They are on purpose so that people in Japan who don't know Jesus would come to know Jesus. That is what they've given their whole life to. And so I think we could stop now and pray for them. And let's do that. So we thank you for Scott and Becky. We thank you for their hearts. We thank you for their obedience to the call. And we pray that you would help them to learn the language and learn the customs in a way that they would be able to bring the gospel in a way that's understood, in a way that can be received. And we pray for these Christmas events. We pray, I think there's one that the location was uncertain. We pray that the location will work out, that people would come that don't believe, and that people would come to believe who do come. And more than that, Lord, would you be softening hearts all over Japan? And particularly we pray for the areas where the Dykstra family will be. The harvest is plentiful, Lord, but only the Spirit of God can soften hearts for people to receive the good news of Jesus. And so we pray that would happen. We pray that would happen in Japan, and we pray that would happen through the Dykstra family, and that you would give them all they need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so part of being on purpose with God is being connected to what he's doing in the globe. Now, in our humanness, in our limitations, we cannot be connected to everything he's doing everywhere. Jesus himself, when he walked the earth, I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. He stayed in a pretty small geographical location for someone whose mission it is to start a worldwide movement. He stayed real, because his strategy is I'm going to do it really well here, and then they'll go, and then they'll go, and then they'll go, and then they'll go. So as a church, we know we can't give to every country in the world what God's doing in every country in the world, but we are trying to be intentional. The Dykstras in Japan, in Asia, Pastor Samuel in Uganda, Abaco in Haiti. And one of the values of us going, and by the way, I think it'd be great if there becomes a team next year that says that we are the support the Dykstra team from Celebrate. And someday that team, some members of that team are going to go to Japan. I think that would be awesome if that happened. Like, we are going to make sure we pray for them once a week, we check in with them once a month, and at some point we might even go. That would be awesome. Now, one of the values of going is because then it helps us to see better so that we can come back and know our part to play. And so the Abaco trip, we send a team every year. We're sending a team again this summer. We've got two people who are going with another group this spring on a spring break trip. But this is a great opportunity to go. And so if you're interested in that, I think, Terry, are you going to be at the booth? And you've been to Abaco. Nick McGonigal's back in the sound booth. He says he's happy to talk to anybody. He's going again. Here you go, Chelsea. She's doing, yeah. Mike, you're, and you went. Mike, yes. And so, yes, Mike has gone. And you're going again?
I think so.
Mike's going again. I think Chelsea's serving up in, so she's up at somewhere. She's somewhere. She might probably in the bathroom. And I'm just kidding. She's not. She's. I remember now. She's up at Celebrate Kids. She's teaching today. Anyway, what if you go? Have you even ever asked, God, what's your agenda? Like, I know I'm here are the things that are important to me. What is your agenda? That I, and is Abaco on it? You could ask that question. You know what? A bunch of us in this room, it probably isn't next year, but there are a few. And it might be you. And have you ever even asked? I don't have any more to read. We won't do that. So, well, that's not totally true. I want to re-go through the verses. I'm giving this sense. God's heart is for the nations. And what if someday there are people that come from Celebrate who say, we want to go to the 1040 window. We want to go to a place where millions of people don't know Jesus, don't follow Jesus, haven't heard of Jesus. But we're willing to give our whole life for that. And then we rally around them and we support them. That might be happening someday. You know, someone this morning gave me a check for a well to be put in Uganda where Pastor Samuel, I've been there, but he says he does this every time. I was at one of them. Where he preaches about Jesus, the living water from Jesus that comes, and there are people in the gathering who don't know Jesus. And somehow Celebrate Church is connected with the gospel being preached in all the nations in Uganda, in villages in the remotest areas in the world. And we're going to all the nations. Now, let's look at that verse again, verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. For many of us, I think we could go to the class, go to Abaco. There are things we could do, giving and praying and serving and learning that would be helpful for the nations. Jesus, his last instructions to the disciples in Matthew, go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel. How can I forget the Great Commission of all nations? I'm going to read it. I have said that verse a million times in my life, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Now, that verse, part of the sense of that verse in the Greek language, I'm told by people that know Greek, is it's like, as you go. So there is a way in which some of us need to go. We're gathering to go with the presence of Jesus. Go. But as you go, as you live, then make disciples of all nations. All nations. Nations, when this was written, when this was recorded, when this was given, was not like the nation of Uganda versus the nation of Tanzania. It wasn't like that. How this is talking about nations, there are maybe hundreds, certainly dozens of nations in Uganda. People groups, ethnic groups. Go to all the people groups. And proclaim that first, the gospel, the good news of God needs to be made known to all the people groups. So, what are your people groups? This isn't just about going to a different country, although that is part of the perspective. And we don't want to lose that. But part of going to another country, especially like Abaco, many hands, this is part of their how they do things. We go to another country so that we can come back and learn to be missionaries here. To our people groups. You are called, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be a missionary to your people groups or to people groups that you can go interact with. You are called to be, we are called to be local missionaries. As you go, where you go, make disciples. Be a disciple who makes a disciple. Be a missionary. If Camille and I were going to go be missionaries in a different country, what would that mean? Well, as we go there, we would have a lot less stuff than we have now, probably. And we would have to adjust our customs. But what would be our purpose there? Well, we would want to make connections with people there. We wouldn't know everybody right away. So we'd be intentional about making connections, right? What else would be true about that? Well, we would try to show acts of love and goodness to people so that they would be open to what we have to share. We would want to be knowing the Word, trained in the Word, knowing how to share God's Word in simple ways. They probably, if we're missionaries there, aren't saying, like, here's our stage and big room of people. We'd have to do it in people's homes. We'd have to do it as we meet and over food somewhere. That's how we would have to do it. And there would just be things that we're leaving behind, not because they're bad, but because they would prevent us from being on purpose on the mission. Now, apart from having a lot of stuff, that is how Camille and I live a lot of the time. Like, we're missionaries in Knoxville, Iowa. And we are building relationships, and we are trying to love a community, and we are trying to bless people. Why? Because our purpose is that the good news would be known to all people groups, including the people groups of Knoxville, including the people groups of Pleasantville, of Marion County. We want that. That's it. We're missionaries. And all of us who follow Jesus can have a missionary mindset, which says top purpose and priority is that God is made known. Jesus is made known. The good news of his love is made known through us somehow. And if you are a believer in Jesus, there's no reason that can't be true of you. There's no reason you can't live on purpose for him. Because you have a promise that he will give you what you need if your focus is to live on purpose for him. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to. But you could do it. A missionary lifestyle sounds glamorous, or adventurous at least. But a lot of it is just ordinary, every day. We're just building relationships, trying to show the goodness of God to people and have a chance to speak Jesus in. Have a chance to say, this is why Jesus matters to me. That's what we're trying to do. We have missionaries here. I mean, I'm just looking at missionaries. We got Pleasantville Youth Initiative. We got the well. We got Greg Lee telling me what's he doing tomorrow? He's driving truck for the well. That is missionary work. The well. They're everywhere. The well. But not. It's not just organizational things, though. It's not just it is a missionary mindset that says, I am here on purpose. I'm here on purpose. I don't know what to say, and I don't know what to do. So whatever little things God gives to mind, hey, why don't you text that person? Hey, why don't you call that person? Hey, why don't you pray, God, give me an idea. God, tell me who. And then whatever he gives, then just go with that. We aren't going to have it all figured out. It's funny. I think it was Matt who said when we were studying this passage together, the disciples probably had in their mind, you know what, we're with Jesus. He's the Messiah. Someday we will speak to kings. Because we're going to be really important. We are going to speak to the most important people. And Jesus says, you know what's coming? You're going to speak to those people because you're going to be on trial before them. It's not looking anything like you thought. But you know what? It's part of the purpose. And you know what? I'm going to give you the words to say. You know what? You can trust me to endure to the end. Because I already told you this is coming. I told you it's going to be hard. But I also told you I'll be with you. Danielle Lirio, when we studied this as a board together, she talked about how he started, be on guard. And then he proceeds to tell things that I would think be on guard means because you want to avoid this. Be on guard so you don't get brought before people that are against you. Be on guard so you don't go on trial. Be on guard so you don't get tortured. Be on guard so you don't get betrayed. Be on guard so you don't die. And instead he's saying, like, be on guard because this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Like, Jesus, come on, it's getting close to Christmas time. If it's getting close to you coming, won't life be easier, or will it be harder? And the only way to be ready for the hard is if we're on purpose, knowing the promise of him being with us, and being ready to persevere. That's the only way. I think that's enough. Feels like that was about the right sermon, although my timer says I have a timer. How many times have I got the timer right? It's got a little countdown. Oh, that might be the whole service. No, it's not the whole service. I'm good. Sweet. I mean, it still would have been a good point to end the sermon, but there's one thing that has been coming to my mind that's different. I mean, it's not different, but it's not exactly on purpose, with promise, you know, with perseverance. And that is how much rejection there is in this passage. Like, your church leaders, your religious people, they're going to cause hurt. They're going to make it bad for you. Oh. Like, people that are important are going to do things that harm you. Oh. Like, your own family member is going to betray you. Oh. It's just rejection, rejection, rejection. And I wonder if living on purpose with Jesus, one of the things that prevents us from it is just a fear of rejection, or, and maybe this is where the fear of rejection comes from, actually experiencing rejection. And so we just think, I don't know how, I tried. And so rejection, or the fear of rejection, becomes the barrier to which we just wholeheartedly say, I'm going to go. And so we think, what do I have to offer? Oh, they won't listen to me. Oh, I tried that. Oh. So I just really want to pray before we move on about rejection. Because it's here for us. It's here for us. And sometimes the holiday season can poke it even more than normal. But in the words of the Psalm, Psalm 27, says this. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away. You have been my helper. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. That's part of the good news of the gospel. That's what we're trying to make known. The one who's coming, who came, who comes, who's coming again, he says, he'll receive you. Well, they won't want me to be part of this because I've done these, that. He'll receive you. Well, I just have this voice that keeps coming into my head. He'll receive you. He'll receive you. Part of us being able to live on purpose is to go to him first ourselves and let him receive us. And then we go. And from experience of decades, we have to keep doing that. It's to let him receive us. And then we go. We are gathering to go with the presence of Jesus, with the presence of one who says, I receive you. I receive you. I have chosen you. I want you to be part of going on purpose. So let's pray about both things before we close. Let's pray about rejection, that it wouldn't be a barrier, or a fear of rejection be a barrier to us being on purpose. And then let's pray, like, God, give us what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to say, who we're supposed to go to, where we're supposed to go as your local missionaries. Let's pray. though my mother and father forsake me, though people I trusted forsake me, though people I wanted to like me rejected me, the Lord will receive me. Deep calls to deep. God, we recognize that there are deep places in us that we're often not consciously in touch with, that drive our behavior or lack of behavior. And we can't fix those parts ourselves, figure it out ourselves. But part of the good news of who you are and what you do is that you're able to go to those deep places. So we pray even now. Pray even now that you would minister to deep places. You receive us. In the mystery of your grace, by the power of your Spirit, would you help us experience being received by you in deep places. Deep places. Let's stay in this song for a little bit, if we can.
Oh, all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I it's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Sing all my life.
Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for your promise to always be with us. Thank you that you want to bring your goodness through us to the world. In the name of Jesus, would you give us the willingness? Would you respond to however, even a little bit, our hearts are willing by giving us direction from the Holy Spirit and giving us strength to persevere? Before we close with this last song, just see what comes to mind. God, by your Spirit, would you bring to mind if there's a person, certain person we're supposed to start praying for or reaching out to, or what an act would look like of generosity or service that would be a way to bring the good news to someone in one of our people groups in your name? Is there someone, something, would you bring it to mind now? You help, if you've, whatever you've brought to mind for different people, would you help it go from a thought to action today or in the days to come, this week, in the weeks to come? In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets.
That there's a class that's starting in mid-January that you, if you're at all interested, Kate Schneider will be back there. You could talk with her. Terry, perhaps Nick will get there. If you're interested at all about finding out Abaco, even just to find out a little bit more. The Food Pantry Tree, one of our local missions here. If you could take something to bring back, because we can only get so much food from the food bank, and we'd like to be able to give away more. Be prayer ministers down available to pray for you. If there's anything you'd like to pray for, may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.